I'm here with Pierre Raz. He's the CEO of Genetec. Genetec is one of the leading, if not the leader, in the marketplace of VMS systems. And we're going to be talking about today not only the security industry, but we're going to be talking about schools and how the Genetec system works. Pierre, one of the first questions I want to ask you is, going down the road of success of Genetec, you probably started how many years ago?
We officially incorporated about 13 years ago. Started about 4 years before that in my basement.
So when you started in your basement, you started way back in the really early days of IP and certainly of IP video.
Well, indeed we did, but initially that's not what we thought we would be doing. I had come up with an object-oriented dialect of Forth that I thought we could be used for embedded and ambulatory medical devices. And in the process of trying to get some funding to commercialize it and to develop the technology, I had taken a job at a company that's now owned by Fujitsu Consulting, and I was given a posting at Canadian Marconi as an object-oriented evangelist and a developer. And there I worked on a very large-scale dispatching system for truck fleets. And I used the concepts of this object-oriented Forth inside the embedded control system for the communication manager for the truck, for the trucks, and also was also inspired very heavily by the Windows NT operating system kernel architecture. So it was object-based. I was brought to consult on almost every project inside of Marconi. People would come to my desks and would ask, you know, how should I design this? And I was, you know, giving advice on the Boosh notation and evangelizing, and pretty much doing this pro bono. I was doing my 40 hours, 55 hours a week for on the fleet management system, and then on top of that, I would do just consult because I like doing it.
And so then, along the path, you were able to make that transition.
One of the projects on which I consulted inside of Marconi was a video transmission system.
Ah, okay.
And now I did a lot of work, and I saved the bacon of a lot of vice presidents there. One example of this is a vice president dismantled a division, but he didn't do it in a very, very polite way, and the developers had encrypted the source code before leaving.
Oh boy, that's like a nightmare.
I was, and they had sold the system to a Japanese company. It was a LIDAR, a laser radar. And Friday afternoon, vice president heard about me. He says, can you come to my office? So I go to his office. He says, okay, here's the problem. Can you do something about it?
Troubleshooting. So, in a big way, because they were in trouble.
They were in trouble, and the Japanese were wanting their money back, which was, it was a seven-figure problem for them. So I looked at the stuff, figured out what the cipher was that they used, went to the library Saturday morning at McGill, found an attack, because it was a 32-bit reversible cipher, so it was pretty easy. Implemented the attack. I had the source code by the end of the evening on Saturday. Sunday morning, I started looking at the Fortran code, found the bug, fixed it. Monday morning, they had they made the Japanese happy. So when they dismantled the surface transportation, their surface transportation. When they sold it to Cummins Diesel, and Peter Gasser, who was another vice president of Marconi, told them, said, this is my golden boy, give him the job to do the transfer of technology. And that was only supposed to last 6 months, but it turned in from 6 months after to a year. After a year, I said, look, I want to start Genetec. My job, I wanted to to do my object-oriented fourth thing. And he said, no, start your company and we'll contract you out to do the software.
Wow, what a great way to start your company.
Yeah. And so
entrepreneur's dream, really.
Yeah. This was the mid-90s, so it was very hard to maintain a cohesive development team because, just job.
Yeah, everybody was hopping, getting jobs everywhere, and IT, you were in high demand if you're in IT.
We were in high demand. So we were, and so what we did is every scrap of profit that we made, we actually reinvested it into other products of our own. So we're doing this consulting for this US company, but we'd invest our profits to create our own product. Now, another consulting job that we took at Marconi when they got rid of their video management system on which I did the initial architecture, they sold it to a company who was unable to do the development on that. And the National Research Council had funded this sort of technology transition, the National Research Council of Canada, and the National Research Council phones me up and says, okay, this company's in trouble, can you help them? So I came in and he says, well, we have this big bug, can you solve it? So I started looking at the bug on Saturday morning. It was a video lock lost bug. Fixed the bug by sun Saturday evening, and then Monday morning, the president of the company said, okay, well, we'd like to hire you. And I told him what my rates were. He says, okay, you're too expensive. 6 months later, they got into trouble again. Same sort of scenario. Start debugging on Saturday morning, find the problem Saturday evening, and this time he says, okay, we're going to contract you.
Okay.
So they contracted us for nearly a year, a couple of the engineers, and they were having funding problems. I was not too good with twisting their arm for them to pay us, and they racked up $200,000 of bills before going bankrupt.
Okay.
And in the bankruptcy proceedings, they wanted to offer us 5 cents on the dollar, and I said, no, I'm going to keep the source code instead. And from that, they had proprietary hardware, and what we said is Moore's Law is going to catch up. We took off-the-shelf hardware and just continued the development of the technology.